Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Chuck Hammond broadcasting live from the global headquarters of the 401k Study Group. Today is October 11th, 2017, and another episode about to be started. Today I have with me a long friend and supporter of the 401k Study Group, Mr. Ken Cochran. Ken is the founder and director, managing director at Pulse Logic, and also the managing director of commercial research at LIMRA. So, Ken, good morning. How are you today?
I am good, Chuck. Good morning to you also.
Did I get all of your titles correct?
Yeah, pretty close. Managing director at Pulse Logic, and I'm a managing director at LIMRA also. So, absolutely.
Outstanding. So, Ken was on a little earlier, a couple of months ago, talking about Net Promoter Score, advisor experience, and I was very intrigued by that and how that type of thing translates into the retirement plan world, specifically between retirement plan advisors, their clients, and the, you know, covered service providers that they bring their clients to. So that's why today's title is called The Retirement Plan Advisor and the Customer Experience. It's not talked a lot about in the space, is it, Ken?
No, it really isn't, for a few reasons. One is, the customer experience initiative in 2016, pretty much across all industries worldwide, it's become a more and more important topic. More and more companies are hiring people specifically to manage and monitor the customer experience they provide. And the reasoning behind that, Chuck, is quite frankly, financial services is not the only business in the world that has price pressures commoditization, if you will, pressures. And so companies are looking for ways to distinguish themselves in the marketplace and keep their customers, right? The longer you keep your customer, the more profitable they become. So it's become more and more important, not only in financial services, but worldwide in just about every industry.
Well, Ken, what's interesting is that I'm a big podcast listener, and I was listening to The Hidden Brain just yesterday, and they were talking about these big behemoth financial services industries, and what they were talking about was that these companies, a few years ago, their customer satisfaction rating was at 65%. And they spent 3 years and millions of dollars to get those customer service scores up to 90 or 95%. And they thought that was great. But at the end of the day, all of the other companies spent the same amount of money to do the same thing, and they basically had to do it to stay relevant or go out of business. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, if you go from big bank A to big bank, going to be treated about the same. All the products and all the services are different. All of the products and all of the services within reason are all identical, but there has to be something different that makes you stay at bank ABC versus going to bank XYZ. So why is a positive customer experience important? And secondarily, why should advisors, me as an advisor, should I be concerned with this?
Well, first, why is customer experience important? You started to answer that, Chuck. Customer experience is not, it's not just a few companies. It's the whole industry is, if you will, the tide's rising. Everybody's doing it. And if you're not doing it, you'll lose relevancy and you'll lose business. And quite frankly, you'll be at a disadvantage to all of your competition, right? and as you said, financial service companies, these behemoth financial service companies, have spent millions But that millions for them is a relatively small amount compared to what they could be spending on other things, right? Or the cost of losing business or not, right, or not selling business, right, is huge. And so the combination of thinking about and trying to improve that customer experience has been enabled by, you know, long-term lower interest rates, which are compressing margins, by the need to save some money, cut back on, you know, the number of people touching, and also the use, more and greater use of technology to service your customers, right? You know, think about how banking has changed in the last 20 years. I can't remember the last time I walked into a branch at a bank. Everything's electronic. The closest I get to a bank is an ATM machine. But my customer experience is good. I want to get money out. I get it out of the ATM. I want to deposit a check. I take a picture of it on my with my cell phone, and it's in, and the next day that money's available. Convenience, quick, they don't make mistakes like they once did. The overall experience, I think, is significantly better than it was 20 or 25 years ago, right? And it's only going to improve. But banks are also saving a lot of money. They don't have to have as many branches. They don't have to have as many people, client-facing people, if you will, and it's all automated, and they're also less prone to errors because you've cut back the amount of human the possibility of human error in that process. So not only has the experience become better, but at the same time they're saving money. Does that make sense? So that's just kind of one area where the customer experience, I think, has improved significantly. But on the other hand, the reason why it's becoming so important to retirement plans is, look, the difference isn't as obvious or as great between one record keeper and another and the job they're doing, because there are a lot of them are using the same technology or very similar technologies. They have call-in centers. They have ways of doing a number of things. And they're trying to drive participants to be online and to look at their accounts, make transfers or change allocations, change deferral rates, and so on. All online, which is not a bad thing. But, you know, for the retirement plan advisor to start thinking about what is the customer experience that the record keeper, my client, is using, what is that? How positive is that? Where are they good? Where are they bad? I need, as a retirement plan advisor, I think you need to monitor that to make sure that they're doing the job they're supposed to be doing, and the client isn't dissatisfied. You need to know those satisfaction or what the client's feelings are towards that record keeper. And at the same time, you need to know, you know, the services you're providing as a plan advisor, what are those? What is the perception of you? And that needs to be something you need to monitor on an ongoing basis, because the last thing you want to do is find out they've been unhappy with you or your team for the last year, and so now they're leaving you. By then, it's too late to do anything about it.
You know, we make the comparison between large financial services industries, but you know, when you look at things that, you know, that are just as big but also as practical, like phone service, you know, we mm-hmm. use Google Voice in the office. It's free. I mean, it's free to use. Now, granted, you've got to go out and spend a couple of bucks on a VoIP phone that works with Google Voice, but that's what we use. It's free. If you want to get rid of your landline, you know, all you do is, you know, from what I understand, you port it over to a mobile phone, and then you wait a couple of weeks, and then you port that over to Google Voice. And as long as you've got internet, we run into this all the time. People are always looking for a way, no matter what the industry is, to save money. And there are a lot of ways to do that. You know, cut your cable bill and, you know, go with these, you know, on-demand services like Netflix or Hulu. And these are neither endorsements nor recommendation for either, although I do really like Netflix. From the advisor standpoint, I don't think we ever want to be put in that situation with an existing client. We would like the 338, if we're not acting in that capacity, to be interchangeable. We want the third-party administrator, you know, if they fall down and there's reason to move them, we want to be able to port that information using cell phone talk over to somebody else. But how does an advisor, you know, go about monitoring their customer experience with their clients, and which parts of those, or how many parts are there for them to monitor, not just based on the home team, but also based on the vendors that are in there fulfilling their roles regarding the retirement plan?
Yeah. So Chuck, one of the big initiatives right now in the retirement plan business, you know, especially among the major record keepers, is they've been hiring to be customer experience VPs or responsible for the customer experience that they are providing to their plan sponsor clients and providing, and quite frankly, to their advisors. And so they're starting now to monitor that customer experience. And some companies are still reliant on kind of the old survey method where once a year they send out a survey to all their sponsors or their clients and have them fill it out, comes back, and then they spend some time digesting the data, pulling it up into a report that then is sent up to the senior people at that firm. You know, and that's all well and good because that means at least they're trying to find out what is the customer experience. But the companies that are more on, if you will, on the cutting edge or kind of ahead of the game are implementing customer experience management or monitoring services. So in other words, a system where they're constantly reaching out to the client to find out what was the customer experience, was it good or bad, and then when the answers to those questions come back in, it's automatically fed into the customer relationship management software. So there's no human bias between, you know, asking the question, taking it down, and then loading it up. So they know in pretty much real time if the customer just had a bad experience or not. And if the customer just had a bad experience, they can do something about it right away. But and then they can then take that and say, okay, all the clients that are under this customer manager or whoever the service rep is or whatever they're called within that firm, you can look and say, hey, what's their business like versus the others? And you can start to use it as a management technique for your customer facing people. You can do the same for your wholesalers. You can do the same. You can kind of really start to slice and dice it to understand where the clients who are getting the best experience versus the clients who are not getting the best experience, and start to understand where you're falling down and where you're doing a really good job. So my point here is the leading companies have these types of programs into place. And as a retirement plan advisor, I would highly recommend you start to ask questions about their customer experience monitoring and management and find out what kind of scoring they have coming back. Find out, you could even start to find out how, you know, the quality of various types of business and the books of business that they have, because this is going to be in the not too distant future. These companies are going to start setting benchmarks and start looking for benchmarks to see how they compare to other companies. So that's one thing the retirement plan advisor can do. The second is there will be programs coming out that are type self-serve type programs online in the cloud where an advisor and his or her team can start to monitor the experience they're providing to the customer in real time. to make sure they're doing a good job. So, yeah, you know, it sometimes gets annoying to always be getting surveys of you know, every time I rent a car from Budget and I turn it back in before I'm even in the airport terminal, I'm already getting a survey or a request for them for a response. And, you know, every time you get your car serviced at the car dealership, now they want to they want to know how was the experience. But look, that's kind of a new reality, and it can be a bit annoying. But on the other hand, if they're pissed off, people tend to respond to those if they have an emotional experience. So they're either overjoyed or they're really pissed off about it. But you want to know if they're really pissed off, especially so you can do something about it and it doesn't fester and become an issue down the road. So,
well,
you know,
I think one of the issues is,
go ahead.
If you don't mind me jumping in for just a second, I agree with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that, you know, you're right. When you get to the airport, when you leave the dealership, you know, by the time you even get home, there's already a voicemail on there asking you to give them a call back if you've got any issues or any concerns. But how does the advisor cut that off? What are the steps they need to take prior to getting that irate client phone call? So how do they even get started doing this?
Well, I would say, Chuck, and you would, I don't know if you would agree with me or not, but there's good advisors out there, and there's other advisors, if you will. And for you as an advisor to monitor that customer experience, right? So you're doing a job. It's not that you're necessarily going to change how what you're doing initially in fulfilling all of your obligations to that client, right? You know, but when you start getting that feedback, what's working and what doesn't, that's going to give you a roadmap into what you need to change to do your job better, or what your team needs to do their job better, or where's the record keeper falling down, or where's, you know, the third party administrator falling down, whichever party is a problem here, because you need to know that, and you need to know that as soon as you can, and you need the unbiased, unfiltered response of the client so you can do something about it. So in a way, what I'm saying is it's a bit reactive based on what you're getting back, but once you start to see what you're getting back, then that's going to give you some very clear indications what you need to do.
Ken, thanks for clearing that up. Do you know of a lot of advisors that regularly send surveys, or do they have, you know, client engagement lunches, or how do they, you know, practically, how are they doing this so on a regular basis? Is it part of the annual review, or are they, you know, are they talking to the payroll person and the head of HR? Who are they usually looping in to figure out if there are any bumps in the road that they may not be aware of?
Yeah, you know, Chuck, I think it's in its infancy in terms of advisors, at least sending out surveys or trying to monitor the customer experience. But I think it's coming. These packages, these customer experience management packages, are coming. If they haven't come out already, they're coming out, and they're going to be kind of self-serve online. They'll be very inexpensive to use. For you to monitor your clients. So I'd say stay tuned, keep your eyes open, and as these start to come out and I'm aware of those, I will certainly share those with you. But, you know, it only makes sense, right? Everything kind of goes downhill. The big companies have it, and then it kind of works down. But I think, you know, the annual review, back to your question, I'd be concerned about that, because if there's problems and you find out at the annual review, you're not reacting fast enough. You're not monitoring closely enough. You know, if you wanted to send a short survey out to your client once a quarter, I think that makes a lot of sense. Just saying, hey, here's five or six questions. I tell me how we're doing, or tell me how all the components of your retirement plan, or dimensions, if you will, how are they doing? And so before, you know, kind of festers and people start to think about what do we need to do about it, you want to get ahead of the game, if you will, and address the issue right away. So what I'm saying is, as an advisor, you know, we're more than willing, I'm more than willing to help them, talk to them about how they should do this, help them develop some questions, what they should be asking me, you know, and you can do it online. It costs almost nothing to do online, and you get the feedback and you can see exactly what they say. And, you know, if they don't answer the survey, when you send it to them, pick up the phone and call them and say, hey, it's just, you know, just like your car dealer does, right? Hey, we sent you a survey. Could you fill it out and give us some feedback now so we can make sure that everyone's doing their job? Those are the kinds of things where, quite frankly, I think most clients appreciate it, that you want to know and you want to make sure everyone's doing their job and you want to make sure that the client's customer experience is good and they feel that you're doing a good job for them.
Well, Ken, it's interesting. You know, when you go out to a new client and, you know, you get in the door, you earn the ability to quote on the business. You know, if depending on how you're competing, you know, you're going to, you know, go out and shop the market, help the client with the RFP and bring back, you know, two or three potential new solution providers if they make sense. But at the end of the day, a lot of advisors are just hoping the new vendor is going to do it the right way, whether it's the 338 or the bundled record keeper TPA or the record keeper unbundled with the TPA. How does an advisor actually know that one of those vendors is actually going to provide a positive customer experience?
You know, the old way is references, which I still have no problem with references, but I would ask them, what are you doing to monitor your customer experience and show us that, show us the results of your monitoring of customer experience. And I'll bet you most don't have it. Or if they do have it and they have poor customer experience, they're probably not going to want to share it with you. But those who have good customer experience will want to share it with you. But, you know, let's face it, these companies are installing or have put in place VPs of customer experience. And they have the data. They know what's going on. And from that data, they're recommending what they do or what actions need to be taken at that company, right? So why aren't we asking them to share that with us?
I think we should be. I think it's just different. You know, for 10 years in the tech industry, they've talked about user interface and user experience. And I think a lot of the bigger, more slower, you know, sort of turning around the aircraft carrier, you know, industries, they maybe in the past they haven't been nearly as nimble as, you know, these small tech companies that are really trying to hit a home run right out of the gate with a product, whether it's an app or whether it's a phone or whether it's a fitness tracker. They're really trying to hit a home run right out of the gate. It might not be the final product, but they want a product clients can use right away that's easy to use, that's intuitive, and it does what it says it's going to do. Now, when you get to some of the bigger industries, trying to import that type of nimble technology, that nimble mentality onto these bigger companies, I think is hard. The good news, I think, for advisors is that they can be those nimble companies. They can listen to this podcast today, write up 10 questions, send them through compliance, and put it out on SurveyMonkey for free. I mean, literally,
right.
I mean, it's not 100% free because there's time and effort that go into it, and you and I both know that time isn't cheap. But they can do that today, and if I can get advisors who listen to this particular episode to do one thing, it's for them to realize that they can be those nimble companies. You know, call Ken Cochran, send Ken an email, ask him a handful of questions. And if you didn't listen to our previous podcast, I suggest you do, because if you and your wife have a great experience or you and your kids go on a vacation and you go to a great place, the next time you're around – the barbecue or a family reunion or a neighborhood party, it's going to come up. But not everyone says how awesome their retirement plan provider is. It just doesn't happen, does it? I mean, Ken, does that come up even with a guy like you or me at the neighborhood barbecue?
Oh, hell no.
I'm not going to,
my retirement plan's great. It doesn't. If we went to a great restaurant last night, I'd be willing to say, hey, that place is great. I recommend you go. Or we just saw a great movie. You should check it out. Right? We'll talk about that.
I agree. And that's what our last podcast was on.
Yeah. So Chuck, feel welcome to encourage folks, advisors to contact me. I'd be happy to spend a few minutes with them on the phone and give them a list of questions they should be asking their client. Now, I'm not a compliance guy, but I will give them, five or six good quality questions that will give them feedback that would be actionable in terms of what they need to do to improve their customer's experience.
Well, Ken, I appreciate that. So we're about out of time. I always tell folks, I tell you 20 minutes, but we end up running to 30 because it's one of those topics where it's not new. It happens to you every day. Subway just sent me a text that if I go up there today and buy a sub, I get a free bottle of Gatorade, right? It happens every day, but us as advisors may not be actually going forward and doing that ourselves. So if folks want to talk to you about Net Promoter Score and what it means, if they want to put together one of these surveys, knowing that neither you nor I are their compliance departments, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you before I have to?
Best way is by email. And my email is kcochrane@pulse, that's PULSE, logic, logic.com.
Well, Ken, thank you very much again. Maybe in a month or two, if you get any of these folks giving you a call or shooting you an email, maybe we can put together and talk about the questions. And hopefully if you do reach out to Ken and you do put the questions together, give him the courtesy of calling him back or sending him an email and letting him know how those surveys went, what the data
Absolutely.
Was. Not necessarily the nuts and bolts, but how many did you send it to, how many replied, what was the follow-up, and more importantly, what steps are you taking further? So reach out to Ken Cochran, KCOCHRANE at Pulse, PULSE.logic, LOGIC.com. Ken, as always,
it's always an interesting. Chuck, it's pulse-logic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries. I want to get it right. I want the advisor to have a good customer experience. You got it.
Well, yeah, and me mucking up your email address is not going to help you with that, is it? Ken, thank you very much for being on today. I really do appreciate it. Advisors, reach out to Ken. Remember that you can be that nimble company. You can put these surveys together. And Ken, very much for being on the show. I really do appreciate it.
No, thank you, Chuck. Appreciate the time.
Have a good day.